In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Please be seated. Today we celebrate the feasts of All Saints and All Souls. As the choir will sing at the offertory, today is a day we sing praise of famous men and women who the Church has lifted up as lights of faith in their generations, people who have reflected the light of Christ with singular brightness in dark times and in desperate places, people like Francis of Assisi, Catherine of Siena, all the ones that were named in the chorister's song, and even Mother Teresa of Calcutta, not yet officially canonized, but we all know she's headed there. It's also the day we remember all those who have gone before us in death. We acknowledge that we have a mystical communion with them, a connection with what Scripture calls the great cloud of witnesses. Through a common relationship with our Lord, we are still connected beyond death through the Spirit. Because this relationship is one of spirit, it's a connection that transcends time and space and death. It's a connection that offers strength and hope and consolation. And yet, how often it escapes our notice amidst very busy lives and important things to do. Most of us feel, I think, quite removed most of the time from this communion of saints. And I don't think it's only the chasm of death that separates us in our imagination, especially when it comes to those we call saints. I think we imagine a very great distance between us. We think of them as paragons of goodness, as far better people than the rest of us mere mortals. More kind, more patient, more loving, more devoted, more generous, more holy. We think of them as high achievers in spiritual matters, like Florence Nightingale or Albert Einstein or Shakespeare were high achievers in their fields. It may be All Saints Day and All Souls Day, but it is also important for us to remember that nevertheless, this is still All Sinners Day too. None of these people, even the most distinguished saints, were all that good or perfect. It's not goodness that distinguishes the saint from the rest of us. It's not goodness, it's receptivity to the invitation of God to live our lives in Him. Can I say that again? It's not goodness that makes a saint a saint. It's openness. It's the depth of desire for God. Whenever we read the Beatitudes on All Saints Day, I think we run a very great risk, if we're not careful, of actually expanding the distance between saints and the rest of us. If we're not careful, Jesus says, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, blessed are the meek, blessed are the peacemakers." And it's easy for us to come away with the idea that this is a to-do list for distinguished achievement in the realm of spirituality. Do these things, be these things, think these things, and you will be blessed. We come away thinking, well, yeah, I really should be more of a peacemaker. I should stop talking about so-and-so behind their back, being critical, being argumentative. I really should try to be more humble. But that's not what the Beatitudes are all about, which is a good thing, actually, because our to-do lists are already long and overwhelming enough, aren't they? The Beatitudes are not a list of things that we should do or be. In fact, they're the exact opposite. It was our Bible study on the Sermon on the Mount this summer that really drove this home for me in a way that I had never quite gotten before. The Beatitudes are spoken as the first words of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, his first teaching out in the countryside after having been baptized, and after coming up out of the water, announcing to everyone that the kingdom of God has come near. It makes sense that just after that, that in his first teaching, he would try to take some time to explain who is qualified to enter that kingdom. If that's what he's announced, that that's what's here for us, well, who can expect to be a part of that? In fact, that is what he's doing, but not in the way we expect. We should know that something is up, something different is going on here when he starts out by saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit." I'm going to come back to that with a simpler example. Jesus says, "Blessed are those who mourn." If these are a list of what we're supposed to aspire to in our lives and what we're supposed to do with ourselves to achieve what it is that God asks us to do, why would God ask us to choose mourning? So we know right away, we have hints that this isn't a to-do list. But the even better example is when he starts out saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit." The actual translation of that line, we often get it wrong. Over the centuries, we have translated it as poor in spirit, and we've taken it to mean humble or having a simple approach to God. That's okay, you keep yelling. He's moved by the Spirit. He's not poor in spirit. The translation really means, blessed are those who are poor in spiritual matters. Blessed are those who are spiritually bankrupt. That's a whole different meaning entirely. People who are cut off, hard of heart, is how Scripture sometimes talks of these people. Those who are prone to wandering, lost to selfishness or ego, people who are just simply tone deaf to the Spirit. Now, we all recognize that as part of our own histories at one time or another, yes? Now, at other parts in this list, we see that those who are peacemakers and those who are thirsting and hungering after righteousness, those are also people who will see the kingdom of God. And that is just simply the message that if you, wherever you are, if you take this list all together, the message is clear that wherever you are invited to be a part of the kingdom of God. Spoken originally to a people whose practice of faith had become overly focused on following a long list of legal prescriptions for righteousness, the Beatitudes are an invitation to be part of God's kingdom that's made to everyone, no matter how good they are or how average they are or how bad they are at knocking off things on that to-do list. If you are poor in spirit, come on in. If you are a peacemaker, you will see your reward too, but you're not the only one. Those who mourn, all of us, are invited. What the Beatitudes are is an invitation to everyone to make a way of life that is forged in relationship to God, a relationship of faith that transforms our thinking and our doing and our being. And by that means, we are blessed. It's not all about our action. Remember the Protestant Reformation taught us that the grace of God is not won by our being good enough. It's not about our action. It's won by faith. It's won by being in relationship with a God who blesses. Now, when I was preparing this group for baptism this morning, we talked about the grace of God that comes to us in baptism. And we talked about how it wasn't absent from our lives before this moment of baptism. God has reached for us and is always reaching for us, inviting us, calling us, Baptism is the beginning of our response. So whether you were baptized 50 years ago and don't remember any moment of it, or whether you're an adult coming to baptism now, today, for the first time in your life, this is an act of taking the first step on a journey of 1,000 miles, a journey that is about growing in deeper and deeper relationship with God. It's not about being good. It's about being loved. And the promises that you make today, that you will, and that we all affirm and reaffirm today, that you will stay on that journey, do the practices of faith that will draw you closer and closer to God, that is what you're committing to. Not to a life of being perfect and having to live up to some ideal standard that is beyond all of us. You're not being called to be a saint in that sense. We're being called into a relationship with God. During those vows, we will take on the practice of the apostles' teaching, of hanging on the word of God, of coming together and breaking bread, coming into the presence of Christ and feasting on that, of coming together in fellowship in a community where we see God at work in one another's lives and we're learning from that, and we're committing to a life of prayer where we throw all our cares and our needs and our love on God. This is the beginning of our response. And blessed are those who make it day by day. Amen.